Started. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an awfully lot of you sitting on the bride's side tonight. You certainly are, if you want to sit closer, there are seats over here on the groom's side. Just because the applicant's sitting there doesn't mean that you're supporting him by sitting over there. Also, it is likely that the applicant will have a number of exhibits that they will be placing on these easels on either side here. Obviously, you can't see them from where you're sitting. If you like, please feel free to get up, come up, and look at the drawing. All I ask is that you have no conversation, because we are trying to have a public hearing while that's going on, and that you do it quietly. Other than that, feel free to move around as you need to, so that you can see what's going on. Our first, well, it's our only public hearing this evening, is conditional use number 1913, Jeremy W. Smith.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for yard waste and composting facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 17.01 acres, more or less, lying west of Road 347, also known as White's Neck Road, 1,850 feet south of Road 349, also known as Old Mill Road. The commission has been provided with copies of the related documents to the application and surveys and site plans. That one of those exhibits includes an exhibit booklet, which we received on October 17th of 2011. It contains a color rendering of the proposed yard waste recycling, composting, and sales application, a table of contents, a listing of the project team members, qualifications for Pannoni Associates Incorporated and their staff, aerial photographs labeling and depicting area subdivisions, a copy of the application form, a copy of the conditional use survey site plan, a copy of the deed and a legal description, a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation request form, and response in the form of a support facilities report from DLDOT. Comments relating to the 12 issues relating to the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone. Comments provided from DENREC Divisional Watershed Stewardship, DENREC's Divisional Water Resources, and the Department of Agriculture. There are also newspaper articles relating to composting and recycling. There's an environmental assessment report, a copy of some soils information relating to the Hamilton series, Cleage series, and Rosedale series soils, a copy of DENREC's guidelines for yard waste composting facilities, a series of maps and aerials, proposed findings of fact, and proposed conditions of approval, and some supporting statements. The DLDOT support facility report, which I normally read, is already a part of the exhibit booklet. On October 6th of 2011, the Sussex Conservation District submitted comments. Those comments were in the form of a memorandum and referenced that there are four soil types on this site, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm hazard areas are affected, that it is not likely that off-site drainage improvements will be required, that it is possible that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that the canal ditch may possibly be affected. We also heard on October 24th of 2011 from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and then those comments are in the form of a memorandum, which references that the site is located in the North Millville planning area, that wastewater capacity is available, that the current system connection charge rate is $6,001 per EDU, that construction of a central sewer system to serve the area will be completed in the near future, that a connection point will be provided to the parcel's property line along Road 347 near the parcel's northeastern property corner, that the project is capable of being annexed into the North Millville Expansion Area Sanitary Sewer District, that conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study 2005 update will be required, that the parcel is within the planning area for sewer service from the North Millville Expansion Area, that a connection point will be provided for the parcel during sewer construction to be completed by approximately the summer of 2012. That if the proposed facility will have a wastewater discharge, connection to the sewer system will be required. That prior to sewer connection, the property owner must request annexation and complete the administrative procedures to have the parcel added to the sewer district, and that a concept plan is required prior to sewer connection. For the benefit of the commission, I've copied, rather than have everybody listen to me for about an hour, reading all the correspondence that we received. They've been provided copies of petitions in opposition and letters and emails in opposition. The petitions contained 149 signatures. There were also 23 letters and emails opposing the application. And the petition and letters and emails were voicing objections to the posting of the public notice sign while the road was closed for sewer construction, noise, odors, contamination of the soils and water, extra traffic, dust, health issues, the possibility of fire, garbage, bugs, and animals, truck traffic, the closeness of the site to the recent Blue Hen facility near Dagsboro, which is a similar facility. The impact on the residential area surrounding the site, the negative impact on property values, environmental concerns, and infrastructure to accommodate the project. Those correspondence in reviewing them pretty much related to residents of the area in general on the petition, but also residents in close proximity being located in the subdivisions of White's Neck Village, West Ocean Farm, Bay Forest, Squirrel Run, the OT Collins Limited Partnership to the acreage parcel, and area residents along local roads in the general area. I did find some duplication of signatures and letters because some people did write an email and then forwarded also in letter form, so we received it twice. And one resident did ask that the public hearing be rescheduled since the road was closed for the sewer work that was referenced previously in my comments and in some of the correspondence. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have any questions.
All right, then. Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm with Pannoni Associates, located in Milton, Delaware. With me tonight is Mr. Jeremy Smith, who is the applicant for tonight's application before you. Also with me from Pannoni Associates is Mr. Doug Berry, who is a senior engineer and project manager. This is an application.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we have the PA system. It is on. I'm going to ask Mr. Davidson if you would pull that microphone out a little bit.
You can even set it up on the podium if you want.
Yeah, even if you know to set it up on the podium.
Better off to use just one, too.
Yeah, and if you lean more towards one than the other. Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're still having trouble hearing, I'm going to ask you to move to the front, okay, because this system is doing the best it can. And Mr. Davidson, I'm going to ask you to speak with a clear and authoritative voice.
Yes, sir.
What was that?
This is an application for a conditional use located in the R1 zoning district for a yard waste recycling composting facility with sales. As was stated by Mr. Lank, the hearing booklets before you contain a lot of information that we've prepared and that I will review tonight as I'm going through the hearing. The subject property is located on 39 acres. In the booklets, there is a boundary survey and a site plan as shown. And to my right is a rendering that we've put together of the site. But again, as I stated in the booklet, we've prepared a site plan as well as there's also the boundary survey outlining the 39 acres. conditional use application will encompass approximately 17 acres of that 39 acres. The facility, though, as drawn and as going as being prepared and proposed to you, is located approximately in the middle of the 39 acres. Again, the 39 acres encompassing this facility. The property is within an investment level two of the state strategy states map, where state investments and policies support and encourage wide ranges of uses. The property is also located in an environmentally sensitive developing area. The environmentally sensitive developing area is defined as areas that can accommodate development, provided that special environmental concerns are addressed. Within the booklet, I've provided an environmental assessment report along with other data that I will discuss later on. The comp plan also supports conservation and agribusiness uses. The proposed development, Mr. Smith is proposing an organic yard waste recycling composting with sales facility in order to provide a disposal destination for residents and business people in the, of the community. The facility will ultimately break down the organic yard waste material so that it may be converted to compost and mulch and then sold. This facility will allow for the community to take their organic yard waste to a place within close proximity of their homes and places of businesses, thus alleviating longer drive times to existing landfills and or transfer stations. This will also reduce the burden yard waste puts on landfills and transfer stations. Within the booklets, in the beginning of the booklets, I provided a couple of maps outlining where this property is located. I've done a 1 mile, 2 mile, and a 5 mile radius. And you can see the communities that this facility could serve within this area. Before getting into too much more of the information of this booklet, I'd like to try to address, there's been a lot of emails and a lot of opposition letters, so I'd like to try to address some of those concerns that that I've read in some of these emails. And a lot of them have to talk about the Denerec and EPA requirements, odors, noise, water pollution, air pollution. I'd like to start off by stating that there's a document here. I didn't copy the whole document. I do have copies here if you'd like to read, but one of the documents is the EPA, the United States Environmental Protection Agency, states that they recommend composting yard waste. Not only is composting sensible for any environmental perspective, it is also effectively converts yard waste into useful soil additive or mulch. During the application that Mr. Smith filed with the county, he tried to reach out to some of the neighbors, and he tried to talk and discuss with them what he was proposing for the area. And some of those emails that have been sent in and some of the opposition letters talks about Mr. Smith's, and I think there was some conversation back and forth. So Mr. Smith did try to reach out to the area neighborhood and try to talk to him about what he was proposing. In the booklet, under the Denerec section, there's a set of Denerec guidelines for composting. And in the beginning of that, I put it, there was an email that Mr. Smith was, in the beginning, talking back and forth with Denerec about. And the email states that in order to begin the process of permitting a composting facility, you first have to require county zoning. We're here tonight. That's what we're doing. The first step is county zoning, getting the proper conditional use to be able to do this type of facility. Then there's the Denerec air permit that's going to be required for the grinding equipment to be able to make the mulch. Then there's DLDOT approval for the site, as well as Denerec stormwater permit and conservation district's approvals. Before I talk about the a little bit about the Denerec guidelines, one of the concerns that I had read in one of the letters was talking about the entrance road coming in.
better depicted on this rendering.
The site currently has an existing entrance that's located at the southerly property line of the boundary, which borders the subdivision. And there's also an existing dirt lane that has been there since the applicants have owned the property, and I believe the property was purchased back in 1984. And the applicant would have liked to have used that entrance and the dirt lane going back. But in some of the comments that have come out since we filed the application, there were some concerns about that entrance being located at that
next to the subdivision here. What we've done is, what we're proposing,
and I have this in a handout if you'd like, but I'll point to the exhibit here, is we would move the entrance towards the middle of the property, and we're going to line it up directly across from an entrance that's across the street here. And we would like to be able to propose coming, we would come through the woods here with an access road to the back and then bring the road back down and connect back into the existing farm lane. Now, what we would like to do is we'd like to propose that for 3 years. To give Mr. Smith time to be able to get the facility up and going, to be able to generate enough income, to be able to take and possibly move the road if needed to bring the road up the middle of the property. So what I've done is I've placed an additional condition. I've put conditions of approval in the booklet, but I've placed an additional condition, and if I could pass that in, and then I can read that, I'll read that condition to you. Condition states under H that prior to beginning the fourth year of business from the date of the certificate of occupancy, the applicant will relocate the access road to the facility from the south boundary line to the middle of the property, which will then align with the placement of the entrance. So in the beginning of this project, if approved by the county, and once he gains all his permits, we will permit the entrance within the middle, approximately in the middle of the property owned by Millville Associates.
Before you go any further, I need to ask you a question.
Sure.
The project being 17.01 acres, or you know, 01 acres, has a specific legal description, so you're stepping out of the boundaries of the legal description.
Well,
I'm really asking that question to Mr. Robertson. He's actually altering the boundary of the project, of the application, by moving it out.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you consider what's there now, it could be, I don't know if you make it a condition, but they'd have to come back and reapply to relocate it.
Go ahead.
Our hope would be to leave the entrance, in the road exactly where it is, but I'm trying to address, there was just been some concerns that had been brought up through some of the opposition letters about the
traffic and noise coming down the backs of these lots here. On the site plan, I did propose distances, or we showed distances, just to kind of further out. What we've done is we're proposing a 10-foot buffer. A landscape buffer, there's existing.
Robertson, just speaking to this issue about the boundaries, the conditional use application, though, their application is for what they described within the boundaries, not for the driveway.
Yeah, and that was going to be my point, is that, you know, at this point, I just need to take it under advisement, because I'd have to go back and compare the legal description that was applied for with what's shown on here.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, right, because the conditional use is going to be what they applied for with that legal description.
We couldn't expand it, but that doesn't mean he couldn't grant what they asked for. Not that we're going to. I'm just saying, I don't think we need to re-advertise it.
No, I raised that question just because if the boundaries change and we have a legal description that describes it as 17.01 acres in a specific location.
Right.
Which now you're moving it part of the parcel over, and it's part of the legal description.
Let's move forward, and I'll take it under advisement. Because the other thing is, too, we're talking about a road versus a use. You know, sometimes
that was my only issue, was that I know that you can circumscribe an area within a parcel for a conditional use. The conditional use does not have to follow the parcel lines, but it can't extend beyond them. You can't have it something that goes beyond the parcel lines. Is that right?
But it's a specific 17.01 acres within a 39-acre parcel.
So they've carved out in the application a smaller piece in the entire parcel.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
I didn't intend to shut it down. I just intended to let you make that part right.
I wasn't thinking that. I just wanted to make sure we didn't get all the way down the road.
And if I could,
over.
Yeah, now, you know.
Further explain. Again, what we would like is to leave the road and the entrance right where it is.
We're just merely proposing an alternative.
Okay.
Based on some opposition that I read, based on some comments that I read in some of the opposition letters. Certainly our client, Mr. Smith, would love to utilize the existing entrance. Of course, it would have to be upgraded to meet DLDOT requirements, but he'd also like to be able to utilize the existing road going straight back without having to move the road at all. So I was just merely offering up an
I appreciate that.
On this, what you're saying is that if you did relocate the entrance, you would not do that until prior to beginning the fourth year of the business, correct?
No, we would do the entrance right away.
Do the entrance right away. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Again, where the entrance is located and where the road is located, what we've offered up is there's an existing woods line that separates the boundary, the access road. So what we've offered up is to provide a 10-foot landscape buffer to leave the existing woods the way they are that's bordering the subdivision. And from there, we would begin the access drive, which is already there, and just expand upon it and be able to go back to the site with a 50-foot easement all the way in the back. Going back to the booklet, under the Denrec section, there's guidelines for yard waste composting facilities, and this is the guidelines that Denrec sets forth under Delaware Code 6025 and 6003, and they state that the purpose of this document is to provide instructions and operating procedures for the operation of a yard waste composting facility. They talk about the guidance applies to all persons, municipalities, and counties who own and operate this type of a facility. The introduction is composting has been demonstrated to be an effective waste management technique that can produce a useful end product while diverting a portion of the waste stream from disposal. So as the landfills are getting away from being able to accept this yard waste, this is a facility that will be able to take the yard waste in and be able to recycle that. They talk about there's a definition in there. It's called organic yard waste. Means plant material residuals resulting from lawn maintenance and other horticulture, gardening, and landscaping activities, and includes grass, leaves, prunings, brush, shrubs, garden material, Christmas trees, and tree limbs. And this is what the applicant is asking for. Mr. Smith wants to do organic yard waste. Further within that requirement by Denrec, they talk about siting restrictions. Some of the siting restrictions for this facility, it talks about that composting operations, including storage composting and curing, shall not occur in the following areas or the following distances unless the operator takes special precautions meeting the setbacks set forth in these requirements. One of the requirements is he can't place this in a 100-year floodplain. This property is located outside the 100-year floodplain. Within 300 feet measured horizontally from an occupied dwelling. On the site plan, we went out, simpler surveyors, who were the surveyors of this property, went out and they located some of the residences in the area, And on the site plan, we showed the 300-foot Denerec setback. We also provided a 50-foot buffer along the rear of the property that's adjacent to another agricultural field. Within 25 feet of a property line, this facility is sitting in the middle of a 39-acre site. So there's no encroachment within 25 feet. And again, we've added a 50-foot buffer along the rear of this property line. Within 100 feet of a water source, there's an existing well on site. We will be 100 feet from the existing well. There's an existing ditch that runs north to south down to an existing tank ditch, all of which will be 300 feet plus from this proposed facility. Within 3 feet of a regional groundwater table, in the booklet under the soil section, I've provided all of the soils information that's located on this site. And within 100 feet of a perennial stream, and again, the tax ditch that runs along down through here, we're probably greater than 500 feet from that tax ditch. Within the booklet, within that section of the Denerec requirements, it has operational requirements. It says that no person, municipality, or county shall bring or receive any material at yard waste composting facilities other than those meeting the definition of organic yard waste. And again, I read the definition of organic yard waste. So Mr. Smith can't accept any commercial, any food product, any kitchen waste, any solid waste that's outside of the definition of this organic yard waste, Mr. Smith cannot accept into this facility. It talks about what he has to do with it breaks it down, and it talks about grass clippings, and it talks about what he has to be able to do in order to accept grass clippings from area yards. So there's certain requirements that he's going to have to meet. He's going to have to monitor those requirements, and he's also going to be monitored by Denerec. It talks about residual disposal, things that are brought on site that don't meet the requirement of yard waste. And the operator shall not allow non-combustible residuals or solid waste other than yard waste to accumulate at the facility. And he shall provide for the disposal of those processing. Any yard waste that is not acceptable under the Denerec guidelines has to be removed off the site weekly. And again, that's monitored by Denerec. Talks about nuisance controls. The operator should not cause or allow conditions that are harmful to the environment or public health or create safety hazards, odors, noise, or other public nuisances. Again, under the odors and the noise, he has to apply for he'll have to apply for an air permit, and he's also going to have to apply for a sound permit by Denerec, making sure that he meets the requirements so that he doesn't create any type of noise nuisance within the facility. As far as odors, not accepting kitchen waste or any type of commercial food waste will reduce the odors within this site. Constant, in the process of making compost, turning the material constantly makes better compost and also keeps the odors down. Air resources protection. The operator shall implement dust control measures. What we're proposing is, although outside of the DLDOT approved entrance that will be paved, he will be putting in a stone road that comes all the way back. He will also have measures on site, whether it's the existing wells or have some kind of a water vehicle or truck, water containers on the back of a truck to be able to keep dust control down to a minimum. One of the other requirements, there's no open burning, so he'll not be able to burn anything on this site once this site is up and going. Talks about the operator should not cause or allow a point or non-point source pollution discharge from or on the facility to any surface waters of the state and shall operate a facility in the manner to prevent any impact to the groundwater. One of the permits that he's going to have to go after is an MPDS permitting. He'll have to apply for the MPDS permit for this facility. The facility was located on the site so that he's located in a relatively level area, the flattest part of the site with it here, so that the runoff, there will be no runoff or negative runoff from this site whatsoever. And that's what this requirement's about here. And then it talks about the registration of the compost product. Any compost product that is sold or given away in Delaware must be registered with the Department of Agriculture. And Mr. Smith, in the environmental section of the booklet, there's a letter from the Department of Ag. He's contacted them. He's talked with them about the requirements, and they wrote a letter in here talking about how this type of use is an ag use and it is appropriate for this area. A little bit about the composting facility itself. Composting allows organic yard waste such as leaves, grass clippings, straw and knob wood, woody plant trimmings to be recycled to produce a natural material that, when mixed with soil, can be used in gardens, landscapes, and flower beds. Composting allows a microbial process to convert yard waste to more usable organic material, providing additional soil nitrogen for plant roots and improves the soil physical properties such as increased infiltration and better drainage. And this facility here will serve as a community drop-off point for yard waste only. And again, as I stated, no dumping of kitchen or commercial waste products will be permitted on this site. In addition, there were some concerns that I read in some of these letters about chicken manure, other types of manure, and animal manure does not need to be used to make effective composting. So what Mr. Smith is planning to do is use the air, use moisture, use the materials that are brought under the definition of organic yard waste to be able to produce the compost in which he's going to sell. As I stated earlier, this is in the environmentally sensitive developing area. And again, it wasn't required at application, but I went ahead and I prepared an environmental assessment and have placed that in the booklet. And I'm not going to read through the entire thing, but I will touch a little bit about some of the things that we, when we did the assessment. Stormwater, there's an existing farm pond located in this area here, which is about the southwest corner of the conditional use area. That farm pond is going to be converted into a stormwater pond. And through the stormwater pond, we're going to use the best management practices, green technologies that Denerec has placed, and prior to discharging to the existing ditch that's located on site. Within the environmental assessment, we put together a nutrient protocol that outlines the BMPs that we're going to be using, and that's going to reduce the nitrogen and phosphoruses that this site could create prior to leaving the site, prior to being discharged into the ditch. So the phosphoruses and the nitrogens will be reduced. The water for this site, there is an existing, next to the located on the site, there's an existing chicken house that's going to be converted to storage and for the office for this facility. And located at the north corner of that chicken house is an existing well. That existing well will be used for the site. Additional wells will be looked at for supplying quantity for the operation, and it will be permitted by Denerec. The quantity meaning being able to utilize additional water for the making of the compost, for dust control, possibly even fire protection. Sanitary sewer, the proposed conditional use will not need a sanitary sewer service, but however, if needed, the connection to the Sussex County sewer system is currently going on right now, as was stated by Mr. Lank, with the, you know, with road closures and everything else. So the sewer system's being put in right now. Connection to that sewer is possible if it ever is needed. DLDOT stated that they didn't need a traffic impact study for this use. And again, our proposal is to utilize the proposed entrance or the existing entrance that's already located. It will be upgraded to meet all DLDOT requirements and be permitted by DLDOT. There was no endangered species found on the site. There are no wetlands. There's a letter in the environmental section by the state of Delaware stating that there are no wetlands on the site. 100-year, again, we're outside the 100-year floodplain with this facility. The open space, the site that's not being used outside this facility is still going to be used as active farming. We're going to have, there's existing woods, they're going to remain wooded. They're not going to be touched for this facility. This site, most of this facility here is going to be, again, it was placed in the back here in the middle of the site. It's off the road. It's approximately 1,000-plus feet back off White's Neck Road. It's behind the woods here. There's a woods row along this swale right here. In this, so the site will be buffered from all the area residences. There were no historical cultural resources found on the site. As I stated before, Dennerick has special requirements for organic yard waste composting facilities, and I read through those earlier. Mr. Smith will procure a Dennerick yard waste composting facility permit. We will also procure a Dennerick air permit for the grinding equipment that will be used for this facility. In the booklet, I've placed some findings of facts and, again, some conditions of approval for this facility. As previously stated, this is an application for a conditional use located in AR1 district for a yard waste composting facility with sales. At present, the land is zoned AR1 and therefore meets the purpose of the comprehensive plan promoting the conservation and agricultural use element of the plan. The property lies within an investment level 2 for strategies for state policies and spending. The site is within an environmentally sensitive developing area as defined in the Sussex County Comprehensive Code. The water service to this facility will be provided by an on-site well, and an additional well, if needed, will be permitted by Dennerick. The proposed conditional use will not need sanitary sewer service. However, the connection's there. The project will comply with Dennerick guidelines. The entrance improvements will be constructed in accordance with DLDOT regulations. Sediment and stormwater best management practices will be constructed in accordance with Dennerick and Sussex Conservation District regulations. And the conditional use will be subject to the preliminary and final site plan review and approval. The proposed yard waste and composting facility and sales meets the purpose of the zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County. And then the conditions that we've put in and that I've revised, and again, the additional condition is if the access road that we propose and the entrance where we propose it is not acceptable to this body, then we would like to offer up our relocated entrance. So with that, the hours of operation shall be from 7:30 a.m. to 7 o'clock p.m., Monday through Saturday, with Sunday hours only by appointment and demand. Storage areas, process areas, and trash container areas will be no closer than 300 feet to an occupied dwelling on any adjacent property. Entrance and related improvements required by DLDOT will be completed by the applicant within the time period required. The site will have one non-illuminated on-premise sign that meets county requirements. That sign will be placed at the entrance to this facility. The parking lot and security lighting will be provided and will have downward illumination and shielded so no illumination does not encroach over property lines. The required buffers will be illustrated on the final site plan. And again, this is the condition that I've added, that prior to the beginning of the fourth year of business from the date of the certificate of occupancy, the applicant will relocate the access road if requested or if required through a condition. And to the south, and again, the entrance will be located somewhere near the middle of the property. And the uses shall be limited to recycling, composting, and sales of the material. And before I close, Mr. Smith would like to come up here and say a couple of things.
Good evening. My name is Jeremy William Smith. I live at 2 Smithfield Court, Unit 106, Ocean View, Delaware, 19970. First, I would like to thank you, the commissioners, for allowing us to be here tonight. And I would also like to thank the friends and neighbors for being in attendance. I'm a fifth-generation Sussex Countyan, born and raised in the Ocean View and Millville area. I reside within 2 miles of the present facility or farm site. And I'm here this evening because I'm presenting a new business venture. It's my intention to open a facility that accepts yard waste from local homeowners and landscapers. We intend to offer a central and convenient location for the public to drop off their yard waste and to be able to pick up premium finished compost and or mulch. I'm looking forward to establishing a small business in the community that I grew up in, and I thank you again for your time and consideration.
Thank you. And with that, any questions?
Well, we'll find out. And we'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Davidson. And just I'll state for the record that Mr. Smith said he's a fifth generation Sussex County, and I'm not sure what generation I am, but
45th.
I don't know, but I am satisfied that we have no ancestral relationship, father, son, cousin, nephew, uncle, that I'm aware of.
You must be the only two in Sussex County.
Well, I thought it was important to bring that out. Nor have we had any past, pending, or contemplated business.
You have no knowledge of such anyway.
No. I feel comfortable proceeding at this discovery time in the hearing. And, Mr. Davidson, I guess the first question that I would have, which I'm sure you've answered, but I'd like to hear again, is I get kind of hung up, or I hung myself up on the word composting, because I'm thinking, so I need to be educated, if you'd be so kind, again, on what the composting is, because when I think of that, I'm thinking of composting of, say, different organic matters, which may be cantaloupes, cucumbers, other things. You're saying this is specifically yard waste and grasses, is that correct?
That's correct. It's your typical yard waste, any debris from the yard's grass clippings, as I said, woody materials, branches. A lot of times, some of the larger, we're not talking about big trees, we're talking about just the debris that comes off of trees, stuff that can get grinded up, made into mulch. Composting, it doesn't need vegetables. It doesn't need fruits or, you know, kitchen waste to be able to compost it. Composting can be done by the atmosphere. It's done with moisture content. So basically, you can take some of the material, you mix it with some topsoil. There's all different ways of mixing compost or making compost without having to use kitchen waste. I think that's what you're asking, is talking about kitchen waste, food products and things like that. You don't need that to make compost, natural composting. So I guess in essence, when they talk about the tradition composting, the backyard composter, you take out anything from the kitchen, eggshells, coffee grounds, wasted fruit or whatever, and you throw it in a bin in the backyard and you start layering it with leaves and grass clippings and you know, whatever, and that's the traditional composting. That's not what we're talking about here. Denerec will not allow that. That's what that permit's about. It's very specific. It's organic yard waste is what it is. So that's what he's going to be doing, is just the organic stuff, the natural. What you see happens in the wooded sections when you're out in the woods. That stuff, that layer of leaves, that first top, if you dig out those leaves, you're going to see where the composting occurs, because it's done by the atmosphere, it's done by certain moisture content.
Thank you. So if I were to have a failed pumpkin patch or watermelon field, something like that, I wouldn't be bringing that in by the truckload.
He would not be allowed under the Denerec guidelines. No,
and if I did, correct. There would be some type of penalty on the applicant.
I believe Blue Hen Organics accepts that kind of waste, but Mr. Smith will not be allowed to.
All right. As I went through the exhibit book and listening to what you said, and the correspondence with Denrec, I think what I heard you, what you're saying is sort of Denrec is saying they would not address the issues of the permitting without a county approval. And if the applicant were to get an approval, then what you're saying is there's another extensive layer of permitting
that is
beyond what this body could govern to do.
That's correct. Again, in the beginning, the first thing I put in the section under Denrec was an email. Mm-hmm. If you read from the bottom up, it talks about before he can even begin to permit the operation of the mulching facility, he's got to have the county zoning in place. I mean, there's no sense in taking the time up of, you know, Mr. Smith's time in preparing the application, or paying Pannoni Associates to work on the application, or even wasting Denrec's time. He needs the county zoning first, and that's what it states here in the email. Then he can go after some other permits, like the air permit, DLDOT, the standard SCD permits, before he can apply for his yard composting. They want all those permits as part of that package when he submits the application.
One of the questions I was going to ask you was about the noise as a factor. Just thinking if this use were acted on favorably, a lot of the equipment, things like front-end loaders and all, have these backup beepers, which can be annoying. You're telling me that there's additionally a noise or decibel level permit that has to be obtained?
That's correct. And there's also, I'm going to ask Mr. Berry to come up, and he can talk to you a little bit about types of equipment that can be placed on. There's front-end loaders, backhoes, trucks, to keep the noise level.
I wanted to ask if you were aware of a different technology that was out there, and perhaps Mr. Berry can shed some light on that.
Yes, sir. Again, it's Doug Berry. I'm a professional engineer for Pannoni Associates in Milton, Delaware. We understand the concern with noise. We're very sensitive to that. Mr. Davidson went on record and did indicate that we, meaning the applicant, will have to procure a noise permit from Denrec. In addition, there are perimeter woods around the majority of the property, which will serve as a buffer and should block some of the noise that will protrude to adjacent neighborhoods. And lastly, the applicant has agreed to install a device on his construction equipment that reverse and make the beeping sound that you're familiar with. It's called a reactor system. And what it is, it's a device that you install on your vehicle that can self-adjust to the adjacent decibel level. So if your noise is set at, the existing noise level is 10 decibels in that area, this thing will self-adjust. So the alarm is only 15 decibels. So it's only 5 decibels greater than what the existing conditions are. Excuse me. Just so you know, 5 decibel levels is about half of the noise level of a whisper. That's the minimum level. It can be adjusted to reflect the conditions and what is appropriate. And if you would like, I could circulate this.
We can make it part of the record. Yeah.
Dust abatement on the roadway. You mentioned that. I'm trying to go over some of your bullet points. You said that the applicant would be would have some type of water truck?
Yeah, some sort of type or water type truck, whether it's a water tank in the back of a in the back of a gator type vehicle or a pickup truck to be able to keep the dust down to a minimum, which is, again, is required and is part of the Deneric permitting for this type of facility. So he would be able to, he'll have something on site to employ dust control.
And that roadway surface would be kept as it is, or would it be crusher run?
It'll probably be somewhere between crusher run, maybe crushed concrete to stone, something like that. So it'll be of a, it just won't be a dirt lane, no.
How many vehicle trips per day would you anticipate?
Kind of as many as possible. I'm pretty sure Mr. Smith would like to see that, but at this time...
Could you be a little more specific?
I thought I read in the book somewhere 200 or less.
Basically, to keep it in the beginning, it'll probably be 200 or less. To keep it under the traffic impact study and to do extensive, I believe what was... what was stated for under DLDOT, they mentioned it was approximately 800, but I don't think it's going to be that many. I couldn't really tell. There's really no mechanism in DLDOT's manual, in the ITE manual, for measuring the amount of vehicles that are going to come in and out of this vehicle. What we'll have to design for is a Class C entrance, and that's for heavy truck, you know, for trucks and for a commercial entrance. So this... he'll be designing the Class C entrance for this facility. But again, there's really not a mechanism on to measure how many vehicles come in and out of these facilities, since these facilities are virtually new.
Well, along with that, when I started a few minutes ago, I said the question that I have was of composting. I will have to say, and I'm glad that Mr. Smith contacted his neighbors, but when I first got the exhibit booklet and I looked at the roadway layout, and Mr. Robertson said he'd, you know, take that under advisement, I do see that as a question that I would have was the use of this roadway being so close to the backyards of the people that live on Squirrels Run Circle, and when I... What you gave us a few minutes ago was our attorney's going to look at possibly changing
right.
The entrance,
and
still,
and again,
you
that
want to
was
tie
just,
into that roadway.
That was an alternative. I was just another alternative that we could offer up, addressing some of the concerns that came out of some of the letters that were written. Again, the existing access road to the back has been there. It's been used as a farm lane for many, many years. The entrance, same thing, been used. What we've done is we've went ahead and we've added a 10-foot buffer so that the trees that are along there stay remaining. They're not taking out any additional trees. When we widen the road, we'll widen the access road north to stay away from the trees.
So, ladies and gentlemen, excuse me. Hey, we're having a public hearing here. This gentleman has the floor. You'll be given the opportunity to speak at the proper time, and that's not now. Go ahead, sir.
So the existing wooded vegetation, the existing trees and everything running along the common property line here will stay intact. Nothing will be removed. We're going to place that 10-foot buffer there and then a 50-foot right-of-way going through there.
Mm-hmm. You're also saying that the rest of the woods on the site will remain virtually in its entirety?
That's correct, yes.
There is a tax ditch that may have a portion of it affected. In the exhibit book, there's a photograph. It didn't photocopy very well. Could you show me where the affected part is of the tax ditch?
Tax ditch is here. It's on the southerly property line. Mm-hmm. Tax ditch easement is on the opposite side. It does not encroach onto our property. Mm-hmm. The tax ditch easement is shown on the south side of that tax ditch, which is on the other properties.
And by being affected, that doesn't mean polluted. Guessing that affected means that it comes under a jurisdictional determination?
Comes under the jurisdictional determination, and in the booklet is the letter from the state making that determination, jurisdictional determination.
You said your site is not in a 100-year floodplain.
That is correct.
And there are no wetlands on that site.
That's correct.
You reference a letter from Ed Key, Secretary of State Ag Department. You feel as though that letter is supportive. Is that the letter dated 29th of June of this year?
That is correct.
And that's where he describes the forest products as ag use. What do you estimate your distance to be from the closest fire department that would respond if you had needed a fire department? And are there any hydrants? You mentioned that there's a well on site.
Is it a mile, 2 miles? I believe it's within the 2 mile circle. Yes, the map with the 2 mile circle. It is not highlighted, but if you are able to kind of work with the roads, we're going to come Old Mill Road, goes out to Route 26, where the food line is presently, and the Millville Fire Department is located within 0.2 miles from there, access to the 2 or 3 different back roads to White's Neck Road. And that would be our closest fire department.
Mr. Davidson, I didn't know the answer to this. You referenced the initials, an MPDS permit, and that is what?
It's the MPDS permit, N.
N.
It's okay. It's the EPA's permit for, it's the National Pollution Environmental Discharge Permit for stormwater management for the site. So it's what we're required to fill out for this facility, and we have to gain that permit.
Are you or the applicant aware of any other similar facilities? You mentioned Blue Hen Organics. Other than that, that would be, say, on this easel board here, are there any other mulching facilities? Mulching, composting facilities?
As far as I'm aware, there's two facilities that accept yard waste, and that's Blue Hen Organics and Eastern. And one is located on Lazy Lagoon Road in Frankfort. The other is off Red Fox Road in Dagsboro, which falls outside of 7-8 miles from our location.
Or Fox Run Road, I'm not sure. But okay, thank you. Will there be someone in residence on the site?
Not in the beginning, no.
But then there's a proposed gate. There'd be something that would stop me from going on the site after hours?
That's correct. We show on the plan right now there's an existing gate that's going to be rebuilt in the approximate location of where it is.
Got Sundays by appointment and demand. That's to me is a little wide open there. But that these are your stated or hours that you would request that you would deem reasonable, Monday through Saturday. Okay. And last thing, you're mentioning sales. What would the sales look like? Is there a sales facility? Is it bags on pallets? How do you envision if you got an approval that you would sell your generated product?
They're going to be in bins. As you go to any of your local landscaping facility or garden center to pick up mulch, they're in, usually have the concrete buffers to separate each and individual product. And our hope is when somebody comes in, they drop off material and we designate a certain spot for them to pick up mulch or topsoil on their way out. And so I myself or someone will be there to gladly accept payment.
Okay. That's all I have for now, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Ross?
Since Mr. Smith ended with product, are you going to be purchasing product wholesale to sell as well as product that you compost?
In the beginning. Yes.
So you'll be buying product, a finished product to sell?
Specifically mulch.
And will any of the product that you compost or product that you purchase to sell be dyed for different colors of compost or mulch?
That is our goal, yes.
So you will be also, within your permitting or whatever, you'll have dyeing equipment and all that goes with
it? Yes, I'll have the equipment information at the appropriate time.
The chicken house that is nearest to Squirrel Run, is there a line of sight currently from the back lots of Squirrel Run to that chicken? Can people stand in the back of their backyards and see that poultry house?
Sure, anybody can find a spot in their backyard and look at it.
There's enough open space there that they can see.
Yeah, they would have to avoid trees and underbrush, but yes, it's there.
The ortho photos seem to indicate that there's a ditch. You referred to it as some scrub trees or something, a hedgerow, I think you said. But it's in every ortho photo, even dating back to 1968, that kind of line of trees. And in my experience, that usually means there's a drainage. It runs a little bit. If you look at the 2009 ortho photo in your book, it's the very first one, you'll notice a line of trees as you're looking at the photo to the left of the principal composting site. See this line of trees here? And there's another line that crosses over, apparently going towards the tax ditch.
No.
That's not a ditch, it's just a group of trees that just nobody wanted to mess with.
It was a lower lying area.
And you mentioned that there was a pond that you're going to use for storm water
control.
That is correct. It also is not, I can't see it in any of the ortho photos, so it must be a fairly small. You said it's not in anyone here. It's shown here on your site plan. Oh, it's here. Okay. I'm sorry, I was on the wrong side of the picture. All right. On the site plan, the small version anyway, it says that there's an existing yard waste composting area, which is it doesn't look very far from the proposed composting area. Quite frankly, it's probably within 25 yards or so. And what is that existing yard composting, what's being done there?
That is, we maintain personal and investment properties, and that's where we've been taking our yard waste for the last couple years. And that's, we would basically like to break that down and, expand from that specific spot.
How many employees are you anticipating?
As much as demand calls for. I would love to have 5, 10, 20 employees.
But originally it'd just be yourself?
Myself, and hopefully I'll be able to train an employee.
I notice in your exhibit book you're going to use porta potties for, use during work hours, et cetera. The sewer is obviously going to be completed. There. Is there an objection to hooking to the sewer, or is it just a financial?
Right now it would be a financial reason, and if I'm going to be the only one on the site, we can suffice with a port-a-john.
The county may look at that differently, but we'll let them worry about that. As I understand your entrance proposal, what you're doing is you're not changing your application. What you're doing is you're proffering your willingness to accept us to ask you to change it based on what you anticipate public comments will be.
That's correct, yes.
And I think that's all, but let me check my notes real quick here. The truck traffic, is, I mean, are you anticipating, you know, tractor trailers or six-wheelers, some of both, but you're not really sure?
Mainly homeowners and hopefully landscapers with their trucks, were probably usually about six trucks. Wheels for their biggest.
Okay, I think that's all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so we thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few questions. Just some points of clarification that I've seen in some of the emails and letters. As I understand it, you're not proposing to process any chicken manure?
No.
Okay. No food waste, even though you had an article in there about Blue Hen Organics. One of your exhibits was
That was in there just to, kids, if you read through the article a little bit, it talks about the need for these types of facilities in the area. So, right. So it was just sort of a supporting article, as well as the other two news clippings in there, just talking about the need for this type of a facility, not the Blue and organic type. I mean, well, they do have a permit to accept kitchen waste. This facility will
just making sure everyone here is fully aware that
that's
your plan.
I understand. Yes, sir.
And that you do not intend to accept branches greater than 4 inches in diameter. So that means you're not going to be accepting tree stumps and felled trees and
if they're broken down.
Excuse me?
If they were brought to us and broken down and they're under 4 inch diameter. But that is up to how they're delivered. I'll have to visually inspect each load.
Right. But yes. What I want to clarify is that you're not going to get these great big tree stumps where someone is in the process of clearing woods for development and you got those massive things coming in.
No, that's for Eastern and Blue Hen to handle.
Okay. And could you share with us a little bit more about the composting aspect of it? I know the mulching piece, you know, that you know, in terms of that's different, but when you get into composting, aren't you required to provide some extra provisions for that? I thought I saw somewhere in there where you're talking about asphalt pads for the composting, and so can you clarify how that's going to be handled?
We're going to do what DENREC requires. If it's on impervious asphalt, yes. And if not, then we'll have to maintain a clean site.
So you will be putting in pads for the
We have
compost.
To for the mulch.
You have to.
Yes.
But how about for the mulch? Is that required?
Well, the mulch is required, yes.
You're required to have impervious surface for the mulch as well?
Yes, with concrete buffers separating each pile.
Okay. And you talk about a gate back towards where the land opens up. I fortunately was able to find your location today, despite all the sewer construction going on, which I'm sure is a great disruption for the neighbors. But there's a long distance between your entrance and the back. What provisions are you going to make so you don't have people dumping trash and other debris at your entrance that you're going to wind up having to clean up?
Well, hopefully we'll be able to catch anybody that comes in and does that, because we will provide a turnaround at the gate. So hopefully there is no, I don't see the expense of putting up security cameras to try and find somebody that's going to dump on the property while we're not there at night.
Well, I think that would be excessive, but I mean in terms of a locked gate at your entrance to keep people from dumping it in the neighbors' backyards on the way back towards your place.
I would have to rely on the good willingness of the neighbors to see if anybody's out there after dark.
Fire protection. What methods or mannerisms would you have to provide water should you have a fire?
Well, one of the things that we're going to, again, there's an existing well out here, and we're looking at possibly, if needed for demand, and that's what I stated earlier, is for demand, for the water demand, is putting in a larger well that's already, that would be larger than what's out there to be able to have something
and substantial to be able to control fire. Other than that, it's basically you would have to call the there's under the Deneric guidelines, there's a section under here that talks about emergency response. And one of the emergency responses is making sure that you have at your fingertips at all time police departments, fire departments, and the Deneric Deneric phone numbers to be able to control this type of so if a fire broke out, hopefully with what he might have on site for water source would be able to control it until the appropriate fire department gets there.
So the well that you have there now, is that an irrigation type well, or is it more of a residential type well?
It
was used to service the chicken farm itself and the residential homes on it, on the property.
So that source could be used to provide some watering for keeping down the dust and that might occur through the mulching process, because I know we had that similar issue with a mulching operation in Harbison that was approved in the past year. And Mr. Chairman, I appreciate following Mr. Smith. Most of my questions have been answered.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Lank?
No questions.
Okay. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counselor?
No questions at this point. Thanks.
All right, then. We thank you. Gentlemen, if you will take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1913, Jeremy W. Smith? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1913? Yes, ma'am. Come on up. Give us your name. You may have the floor.
And it looks like there's quite a few people here with an interest in this in opposition. What we will do is ask for a show of hands at some point. So don't feel as though that you need to come up and speak. If you're just going to say the same thing so that you feel like you've been counted, we will take a show of hands to get a number of everybody that's here. So thanks.
Good evening. My name is Bonnie Patrick, and I live in Squirrels Run. In fact, I'm sorry that he took that.
Well, we can put it back up there for you.
Yes,
put your map back up there.
I'm one of the people in the community who communicated with Mr. Smith over the development of this facility.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
My next door neighbor is the closest resident to the facility. Okay. He was not notified at all that this was going in.
Find out about it?
I found out from another neighbor. And I was on vacation, and Mr. Smith sent a letter to my house. And then I responded to him. And he was good enough to respond the first time. And I understand these facilities are needed, and they're needed in Sussex County and other places. However, I don't feel that this facility is needed in the middle of residential communities. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know anything about... I know lawnmowers are loud. But in one of the communications I had with Mr. Smith, he said that he couldn't have anything on the property that was over 450 horsepower. I know a lawnmower is not near that. And I just can't imagine hearing those noises at 7:30 in the morning until 7 o'clock at night. I'm concerned about the truck traffic coming in. I mean, right now, there isn't a truck that goes up and down that road maybe 5 times a week, 6 times a week. I can't imagine 200 trucks going down that road a day. I am also concerned that when the application was made, and I got a copy from Mr. Lang's office, the ordinance was to grant a conditional use of land in an R1 agricultural residential district for a yard waste and composting facility to be located, and then it talks about where it's located. I made an inquiry at the time when I had this copy made, and I said, if this turns into a commercial venture where there are sales, does a conditional use of land include sales? And I was told that it would have to be rezoned commercial for sales. Was I wrong?
You're told that by whom, ma'am?
Someone in your in Mr. Lang's office.
Okay, that's wrong.
One of the clerks.
That's not right.
That's why we're having a public hearing.
That's why we're having a public hearing now. So.
Okay. So.
The only thing that the conditional use will permit is if it's approved is whatever they applied for. Now they're going to apparently they're planning to sell some malts. So apparently there's going to be some malt sales there.
Yes, and I
let me expand on that too. The difference between a conditional use and a rezoning is a rezoning would allow somebody, if it was rezoned to commercial, for example, that allows a property owner to do any one of 25 or 30 things. You know, really, if it's a permitted use, they can do it. With a conditional use, which is what they've applied for, it's an application for a specific use. However, the county and the Planning and Zoning Commission gets to impose conditions on that use to limit it to what they can and can't do, hours, scope, you know, type of use and everything else. So,
and if the conditional use expires, if it was approved and they quit that conditional use,
it goes away. Yeah.
For a year, if it's vacant for a year.
Okay. Almost every resident that I approached when I had the petition signed were surprised about the development of this facility, even homes that are directly across the street from the entrance. And while I'm talking about that, we all know that there are lots of folks that come to Sussex County for in the summertime, and they are looking for places to get rid of their waste. And I'm afraid, I mean, we already have people who dump bags of trash along the road. And my concern is when they see a sign that says this is a facility, that thoughtless people are going to drop their trash there. And I asked Mr. Smith about it, but he didn't address how he was going to follow that up. And since you all were talking about fires, my concern is, what if Mr. Smith is not there and a fire breaks out at night? So that's a concern of mine. I want to talk about buffers, because there is no mature tree line along Squirrels Run. I know that there's an existing woods on this side, which helps with these communities. Squirrels Run has no existing buffer. In fact, I took pictures, and I have them here today. I stood in my backyard, and I stood in the backyards of all of these people, and I took pictures from the backyard to the farm, and then I went beyond the road of the farm and took pictures going in, and you can see every one of the houses.
Would you like us to look at them?
Sure.
Would you hand them to our attorney and he'll pass them down to us?
Well, what we'll do is make a part of the record.
Can we keep those?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thanks. Well, they'll be in the file. They'll be part of the record.
Can I ask just one quick question on that point? Because looking at the overhead photos in the booklet, it looks like there are trees. I think what you're saying is, to the extent there's any trees, they're on the lots and not on this property, or?
Correct.
Okay.
And did you take any, ma'am, from the back of your lot towards the poultry house?
Yes, yeah, so you'll see the house there, because you can see it perfectly from the property. Let me think. I too was concerned, because I went through the packet and I found the articles about composting. And in order to make compost, it says you need nitrates. And I was worried about the food waste as well, and how it's going to be monitored. The truckloads are going to be monitored. And I don't know when the yard clippings and everything comes into this facility, will people be paying to bring it in?
And that is important, because why does that matter to the use?
Because that makes it even more commercial, in my estimation. I mean, but that has no bearing on the zoning.
Well, I mean, I don't think it affects the use of the land whether the money changes hands for the clippings or not. I mean,
okay.
You know, the issue we're addressing is this an appropriate way to use this land? Frankly, we don't care if they get paid or not.
Okay. I have a concern for runoff because people put chemicals on their grass and they spray their trees for moths and all kinds of things. If that debris is broken down and brought to this facility and then it is hosed down, because in order to make mulch and compost, it needs to have a certain percentage of moisture. My concern is the chemicals washing down into the ground and contaminating the groundwater. Everyone in Squirrels Run, and I believe most of these houses right here, all depend on well water. We have no public water. The public sewerage is going in, but there's no public water. So I have a real concern about that. I think I'm going to turn it over to someone else who wants to speak at this time. I just think this facility needs to be located in an area like the facility at Frankfurt, which is in the middle of a field, not surrounded by residential homes, and some other facilities that I visited. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, who else would like to speak? All right, sir, I think you stood up first, sir. We'll let you go. Not that it's a contest. You can be next. How's that?
Thank you.
There you go.
My name's Michael Cuzzo, and I live over in West Ocean Farms. And I would like to just add one little thing that I heard Bonnie talking about is the byproduct of this operation. Doesn't that cause a certain level of methane gas? I'm not real familiar with the chemistry of it.
I don't know, but I'll find out.
Okay, and I know that methane gas can float in clouds, and it could cause flash fires. Maybe not even on the area where where this compounds and stuff are, but if someone's using a grill or something, that clouds of methane gas, if it's not totally controlled, could cause a hazard. And that's all I really wanted to add to that.
All right, thank you. Before we go to our next person, I will ask Mr. Davidson, tell us what you know about methane gas clouds. I know they talk about cows having a lot of methane gas. I've never seen one burst into flames, but it might have. Are you creating methane here?
No, we're not. Not with the type of composting that's going to be created at this facility. Again, methane gas has to do with, you know, again, everybody knows that with some type of animal wastes, certain types of animal waste, sanitary waste, will create methane gas. But we're not using any of those products to create the composting. So.
Okay, so your process does not create methane gas.
That's correct.
Okay. All right, thank you. All right, sir, that's the gentleman's testimony. I'm not an engineer. I don't know if it's right or not, but that's what he said. He said it doesn't happen.
Is there any other type of gas?
Any other type of gas? Nope. Not that they know of, anyway. All right, sir, come on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Penn Fry. I live at 31276 Brush Hook Road in Ocean View. And I have the lots here and the lot here. That's going to be facing the proposed facility. Got it. And I just have, if I may I ask these folks a question?
Actually, you can ask me. And
okay.
I wasn't
familiar with the procedure.
No,
here.
The way it works, and that's a good question. I appreciate your asking. You would ask us, and I'll when you're done. I'll ask them to come up and respond to your questions if the commission feels it's needed. So.
Okay. I would just like to ask Mr. Davidson what experience he has in this type of facility and if his company has ever built a facility or engineered a facility such as this, because I know I believe they're Philadelphia-based, and I was a little bit familiar with that.
Okay. I'll ask him.
And I would like to ask Mr. Smith
What experience does he have that he feels that it would merit him operating a facility such as this?
Okay. Is that it?
No. I mean, but I thought you were going to ask them the question.
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
When you're done.
Okay.
We're done. We're
thank
not
you.
We're going to let you finish.
No, we're not going to use all this, but we do have a few questions here.
Well, I don't have to be anywhere until 7:30 tomorrow morning.
Okay.
You take
and
time.
I got the time.
You take your time.
Okay. Mr. Davidson referred to investment level 2, mm-hmm. and that comes from the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. And he's right. This certainly doesn't fit into that. If you'd like, I could read it to the audience here. I'm sure you're familiar with it. But what it says is the state's intent to use its spending and management tools to promote well-designed development in these areas. Such development provides for a variety of housing types, user-friendly transportation system, and provides essential open spaces and recreational facilities, other public facilities, and services to promote a sense of community. Okay, and I'll let it up to the board decide how this fits in.
Okay.
Have several questions, and I think they're really they're good questions. What type of permit are these folks going to be applying for? Because there's Denrick has two. And if we can, if you could ask that question now, I can sort of proceed and know which direction to go to.
Well, that's a Denrec issue. It strikes me. Yeah. I mean,
well, it depends upon what they're going to be doing with the facility, according to what permit they apply for.
Well, what's going to happen is this commission and ultimately county council, if they are inclined to approve it, which remains to be seen based on the record, they're going to tell them what they can or can't do. And at that point, with that approval in hand and the limitations that the council may put on it, based on the commission's recommendations, that'll tell them which permit they're going for. I mean, this commission and the county doesn't have any jurisdiction, though, over the type of DENREC permit or any that they may go after, any DENREC regulations. That's between
the state.
Well,
I've talked to DENREC, and basically what they told me was the fact that once, if they do get an approval in this facility, okay, there are two permits that they can apply for. And those two permits determine the use, and this type of facility with the amount of land would qualify for both. Now, let's assume for the moment that when you do this type of composting, it takes a long time, but you need a catalyst. And I think that one of the questions was here, were we going to use, what do we do with the nitrates? How do we make this thing work? Okay, well, how long does it take when you walk out into the woods for that to generate? The woods floor is a natural compost. So when you look at that, it takes a long time, doesn't it? That's why Mr. Smith has to start importing, you know, product so he can sell it until the process catches up. So if he goes for a resource recovery, okay, and he complies with what he does with, works under his, his conditional approval, okay, at some point in time, if this process isn't working out real well, he has 17 acres invested. He has, you know, a lot of money tied up in equipment. He's going to have to do something to make this thing work, okay? And the potential's there, depending upon what permit he has, to bring in some catalyst, which would either be solid waste, which is, you know, a 21-day sewage project, okay? Either some type of manure.
I can give you a quick answer to that. I mean, they've stated on the record that they're not going to allow that stuff to be put in there, and that's the type of conditions that I was talking about.
Okay, and we can have the assurance of the board that that isn't going to happen.
They'll get violated, and they'll get shut down if it does. If the condition, the order...
For a year, I hope.
Well, it'll be...
Okay, so that's, yeah. that's a big question.
Okay. All
right. Okay, the next is on transportation, and we have that here. Okay, transportation. We were talking about approximately an increase of 200 vehicles. Now, they're not going to be bringing BW convertibles with Christmas trees hanging out of the back. They're going to be having pickup trucks and trailers. So we know that. So these are going to be commercial-type vehicles, or even if you're carrying yard waste, somebody in the community is going to be, using a pickup, which is fine. But the landscapers and the people who are coming in, or the trucks that are dumping off the product, they're going to be doing what? They're going to be bringing trucks in. And we all know that there's going to be an area that are going to have to shut down 26 because they're going to be working on 26, even though it's not probably the project's not going to start for about a year. So what type of trucks are they going to be bringing in? And I think this, oh, this gentleman over here referred to basically small pickup trucks. Well, the width of a truck, depending upon if a landscaper will have a truck somewhere between a 2,500 and 35, they usually use 55s. They could be up to 8 feet wide, the trucks coming in and out of this. 18-inch mirrors, meaning that truck takes up a full lane of all the access roads approaching this facility.
Aren't they entitled to a full lane?
Absolutely. But what about, okay, what about a bicyclist?
Okay.
Or somebody that's going to walk? This isn't an agriculture community. No problem. So that means that with 200 vehicles, commercial vehicles, going up and down that road, bicycles are done and walkers are done, unless the county wants to go in and put, you know, shoulders and a bicycle lane. Okay, that's your transportation problem that this would create. All right, and now, okay, from our representative Hocker, okay, he had stated that they're going to have to build a detour and make it special with shoulders to handle heavy-duty trucks when they shut down Route 26. My question is, why isn't this being considered when we're going to increase the traffic by over 200 trucks on access roads that don't facilitate that type of, in a residential community, that wouldn't facilitate that type of traffic? I think it's a serious thing. And a few more questions that we have. Okay, another thing that concerned me, and that's why I ask about the experience, and okay, we talked about the road going in and out and the water trucks. Well, that's an issue. Okay, if you put water trucks, you create mud. If you create mud, you're carrying stuff out onto the roads. Okay, the design of one of these facilities is to have larger stone in that driveway to knock the mud out of the tires, because you have a 40% hydration rate to break this stuff down that you're constantly turning. And if you have that, it's a wet facility. So what are you going to do? Okay, you're going to have mud running up and down that road. Now, there may not be dust on the facility, but there's going to be dust on the road. Okay, that's an issue. It's a fact. Okay, all you have to do is go to one of these facilities. It's not a, you know, you can look it up yourself or drive by. It's an issue. That's why they have them in areas, okay, that don't are not around residential, because all of a sudden we're going to be eating that dust. And what's in that dust? Okay, someone has said chemicals, dyes, things like that. It's a reality. Okay, that stuff gets into the water, but we're going to get to that. We mentioned, equipment. I'm somewhat familiar with equipment, somewhat familiar with this type of equipment. I don't know what type of silencer you're going to put on this stuff for a 450-pound diesel that's going to be running 12 hours a day next to your house. Now, is there anyone here would like to have that running next to their house for 12? If they do, three lots are for sale. You can buy them. Okay, that's how I feel about it. Now, what type? I think you need a tub grinder. You need a shredder. They run. They're noisy. No way to shut those things down. Okay, you can quiet them down. You can put. You have special mufflers on them, but that's the best you can do with that thing. This is going to be noisy. Okay, operating 7 days a week. Someone here addressed that issue. 7 days a week with this stuff running in your ears? Hey, that's in my backyard. Okay, what other pieces of equipment will they be operating at these times? You need front-end loader. You need all types of things for this type of facility. Okay, now, how do you plan to monitor the well water? Are we going to have, and I understand that this isn't going to be required, okay, but there are no monitored wells that are going to be used on this facility. And more than likely, you're going to be importing more compost than what you're going to be creating, but it's a long process unless you have huge, huge piles in a big facility in this. It takes a long while without a catalyst. Okay? Another thing, okay, in the event of well contamination, will you be putting up a bond to protect the residents? You know, if something happens, we'd like to know. Well, I don't feel like paying for it.
What is the danger of the well contamination? Yeah, you're thinking about chemicals, fertilizers coming in on the clippings and stuff?
Okay, well, here's what you have. Here's what you have in something like this. And while we can get to the gases, of course it produces methane. Woods produce methane. Okay. Okay, we don't want to get into methane. Okay, the other thing is hydrogen sulfide. This will not I don't know. I have to look at each facility. Hydrogen sulfide is created by a compost facility. It just killed two people in California. Okay, it's documented. Just look it up. Okay? These are issues. Okay? And they're not being addressed here. We're just being told that, you know, oh, we're just going to operate a facility. We're going to, you know, take some, you know, twigs and leaves and turn them into money. That's not a bad deal. Okay. We're not going to have the solid waste at this point. You're not going to allow that. And that eliminates some of the other issues because, okay, nationwide, rules and regulations are cracking down on compost facilities. We need them. Okay, there's no question. I think it's a great idea that he has, just not in our neighborhood. You know, I wish him lots of luck with it. I don't want this equipment. I didn't move, you know, he said I'm a sixth generation American. Okay, maybe that qualifies for something. I don't know. But I don't need that in my, you know, in my backyard. I didn't, you know, that's not what I'm here for. You know, I think we contribute to the community and, you know, I contributed to the community where I came from. And now here we are. And I have a construction site in my backyard that's going to be operating 7 days a week. That's crazy. Okay? And I just have one more question. Okay, you stated in one of your letters, okay, that you thought that this may improve our property values. You tell me how. And is there one person in this room that would like to be living next door to that facility? Okay, I'd like to meet them. Can I stand here while they...
You have to sit down.
Okay, well, what if there's...
You don't get to rebut.
Okay.
All right, that's the rules.
Nobody does.
Nobody does, and it's one trip to a customer. Now, let me tell you how to handle this, okay?
Okay, I need help.
If you've got something that you're just dying to ask, you get the guy sitting next to you to come up and ask it, because you can't come again.
Well, that's my wife.
Well, there you go.
Okay, yeah, we've been doing that for a while. Okay, one other thing after the permits.
You just had one other thing.
I know, but that's before I didn't realize I had a rebuttal.
Before you had the next thing.
Yeah, you got it.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. And who, I'd like to know if there's going to be a weigh station.
I'll find out.
Okay. What are we going to do with that? And as these trucks leave.
Weigh trucks, I imagine.
Where are we going to put it?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because they usually have a weigh station, one, you know, a truck going in empty, a truck going out. How else are you going to figure it out? Maybe a front end loader load, I don't know.
Okay.
And the other thing is, what process do they have to keep the trucks clean coming down that road, to keep the dust from getting on the road? Okay. You're going to wash them off back there and then send them down a clean road? I mean, that's an issue. This is a residential neighborhood. So we're putting a commercial site, a proposed commercial site in the middle of a residential neighborhood, and we're trying to massage this to make it work. Okay? Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. We thank you. Hey, people. Now, come on. You know that you heard our council say that there was no applause. Now.